going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive, up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
Thanks so much, Capital. It is the Going Deep podcast. I am Donovan Bennett, and we are going deep on all things Canadian soccer. On this episode specifically, our women's national team program. Now, one of the best goalies is Stephanie Labbé, who is the general manager of the Whitecaps women's program and is also a two-time Olympic champion, but now is also ready to tell her story in a big way. She's the main character in the documentary Shutout, a TELUS original directed by Australian filmmaker Cassie DeColling, which tells the pretty interesting, compelling, eye-opening story of Steph's journey in soccer and in life, both internally and externally. It screened at the Vancouver International Film Festival Center earlier this spring, and it's something that if you have the chance, you definitely need to watch. Maybe just will whet your appetite as we get ready for a massive summer of soccer in our country, both on the men's, but more importantly on the women's side as they look to defend their Olympic gold medal. Let's ask her about that. The prospects for our national team this summer, what she's trying to build for Whitecaps FC next summer, and how all of this is really, in her mind, her life's work. Let's go deep with Stephanie Labbé. So Steph, thanks for making time during such a busy time with so much going on with the league announcing name and logo and franchises starting to take form and make their own announcements. You've been part of this process for a while as in Vancouver. You've had a bit of an infrastructure ahead of some of the other franchises. Now that the rest of the league is catching up, what's it like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it feels awesome. The event this week, launching the league name and brand, was fantastic. The reception was incredible, and we've had so much positive feedback since. And I think just the overall excitement and energy towards this has just like jumped up. It feels like 10 levels, and it just feels all more real. Like all of the conversations we have, there's no more kind of second guessing it. I think it just really solidifies what we're doing and makes it a lot more real for different people and in different, yeah, stakeholder positions.
What makes it real for you is that not that far from now, we'll be playing matches.
It's crazy. Like less than a year away from kickoff. It's insane. And, you know, I'm getting excited and the conversations I'm having with potential players and agents. And I know players are excited too. Like that opportunity and chance to be able to play pro in Canada, like it's so crazy. And sometimes I have to pinch myself that we're getting so close to kickoff, but we still have a lot of work to do before we get to that point. But the excitement's definitely ramping up.
Those conversations and the excitement, is it from domestic players, North American players, international players?
Honestly, like all of it. One of the biggest pulls for our league is the fact that our minimum salary in the league that we have right now, it's higher than, you know, over 90% of the leagues globally. And so the attraction for international players is massive with that, knowing that when they come, our minimum salary is guaranteeing them, you know, a good salary, a place to live, like, or a great country to live in. And they know that the talent we have in Canada is fantastic. So it's a huge pull for internationals. And then for domestic players, they're seeing that opportunity of being able to build their brand, you know, get better partners and sponsors and really build lasting relationships with them outside of the sport. And, you know, for those younger up and coming players, the future national team players that, you know, have been either grinding overseas, trying to, you know, get contracts and keep the pro career alive. It's a chance to be in Canada, to be in the eyes of our media, be in the eyes of our national team coaches. There's just so many like bonuses around it that honestly players of like all different kind of backgrounds or positions in their career are excited for different reasons.
There is real fertile recruiting ground when you look at where your franchise is located and the female players that have come from that area and the history of young female players going to that area to be developed in the first place. What sort of advantage does that give you day one in terms of finding a squad full of good Canadians?
Yeah, I think it's just, like you said, touching on our history and touching on the investment that we've had in the development of Canadian athletes. We've had some massive names come out of our program in the history, like, you know, obviously Christine Sinclair, Sophie Schmidt, Erin McLeod. Then as of late, like Jordan Heidema, Jade Riviere, Julia Grosso, like the names just keep going on. And we've got some fantastic youth in our system right now. And like I said, it just shows like our commitment and our passion has been in terms of development of Canadian youth. Like it's been there for years and that's not going to stop. We're going to continue to invest in that youth because our ownership really believes in that and really believes in giving equal opportunities to young boys and young girls. And I think that's one of the biggest things is we're not just here to, you know, slap a paycheck onto a professional team. We really believe in the whole pathway and opportunities for players of all ages. And so having that pro team is kind of the cherry on top for the investment and the development that we have in the youth, to give them that thing to aspire to be able to keep, you know, all these players that we're investing in their development, to actually keep them in our city and in our country and not have to develop them till they're 18 and then send them away. But to actually give them that place to enter the pro game and be able to stay for even more years to come.
What has this journey been like for you? The role goes from, you know, one G title to another, goalie to GM, but there isn't GM 101 or GM for dummies that you can read. And we haven't had a domestic league with an abundance of people that you can talk to for counsel and advice. How have you figured out how to do this job on the job?
I don't know if I even have figured it out, to be honest. I'm learning as I go. I think the qualities and characteristics that I learned through sport of, you know, working hard, being vulnerable and asking for help when I need to, surrounding myself with other powerful leaders so that I can learn from them, and just always striving to be better every day, always wanting to learn something new and challenge myself in new ways. I think all of that has helped me. I think at the same time, you know, I didn't get thrown into a job where I already had a team and I had to perform like immediately. I kind of have had the time to learn the role and be able to talk to others in our organization, have a great mentor in my boss and our sporting director on the men's side, Axel Schuster. And yeah, I think just being able to learn from everybody around me. I've also done a lot at the beginning. I reached out to other former players that are in similar positions down in the NWSL and in England, and chatted with them about their experiences, the things they've learned, kind of what their like top priorities are. And then at the same time, you know, talk to other general managers of expansion teams and seeing what the biggest challenges were, seeing, you know, what they focused on that maybe was a good thing or a bad thing or what they should have put more attention into. I think it's just all having that learning and growing mindset, and just being able to kind of, you know, take everything I accomplished as an athlete and then kind of put that like ego at the door in a sense. And yeah, just be able to be vulnerable and ask for help when I need it.
In those various conversations, as you're doing your due diligence, was there a common denominator? Was there something that you continued to hear that stuck out to you?
I think it's just my understanding of, you know, being a player and having played for different clubs in different countries and seeing different clubs operating in different ways. I think it's that experience, number one, that is I've brought it into, and it gives me a pretty clear vision of, you know, how I want our club to be run and how I want players to feel when they come to be a part of our club. Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the biggest things. And I'd say secondly, like just my dedication to making sure that we build a culture and an environment that supports and is a big advocate of like player welfare and player safety. I want players to come in and enjoy themselves. I want them to be happy in the environment. I want them to have the resources that they need around them to be able to step on the field and perform. So much of that is, you know, not the coach that's coaching you on the field or, you know, what happens when you're on the pitch. It's the resources and the tools that you are provided with outside the pitch and that support that really makes you feel like, you know, you're enjoying the time there and then you can just focus on being an athlete.
What I'm hearing you say is that you want professional players to be able to feel like professional players, which you would think is obvious, but has not necessarily been as novel a concept and something that female athletes could necessarily take for granted. When we look at the setup, and it started as Project 8, but currently is 6. When I saw the 6, one of my first thoughts was that we're on the Eastern Seaboard, which means your franchise gets to have the most travel by far. When you think through that reality for your players and your staff and logistics, you know, what comes to mind in being able to troubleshoot that hurdle?
Yeah, I think number one, what's incredible is that we have that experience already on the men's side in our club, with Vancouver being in the MLS, like they have to do a ton of travel and probably a lot more miles than we're going to have to do. So I think number one, like that experience that we already have within the club that we'll be able to learn from and take a lot of learnings there. And then I think at the same time, it's like I said, it's making sure that we have the right resources in place, that we're focusing on player welfare. And I know there's been a lot of talk in not just the women's game and the men's game lately in terms of like load management and player safety and welfare. And I think it's making sure that we're looking at that and looking at the load, looking at how many games we're playing in a short period of time with travel, because travel does have an effect on players. So I think it's just making sure that we have the right medical staff in place that's looking at the load management and managing the players and, making sure they have those resources off the pitch to be able to recover and get themselves primed for what's next.
Talk about the demands of a modern day player with the international calendar continuing to get bigger and more important for players' careers. You look at the way this league is structured in North America being, you know, a spring league and how that might impact major tournaments and obviously Europe, you know, mirroring more of the calendar of the men's European leagues. What will that mean for your franchise in terms of balancing, you know, in and out of season, making sure that your players are at their best when they need to?
Yeah, I think it's number one, making sure they have a proper off season, making sure that they have an off season that's not soccer focused, that they can have time away from the sport, mentally recover, physically recover, emotionally recover, all of those things. And then, yeah, during the season, I think, you know, you said it, the game is exploding. And with the increase in visibility and investment in the women's game, there's also an increase in the demand of marketing dollars and sponsorship dollars and what they want in return. And so, of course, the demand is more games because they want to be able to advertise and get, you know, brands want to have their names in more games like that. So I think it's about finding that balance and making sure that we're not putting players at risk just because the investment and the attention around the game is increasing, that we don't just continue to add games and add tournaments for no reason. And, you know, with league games and then there's always external competitions. We now have the CONCACAF Champions League starting on the women's side that starts this fall. And then adding in, you know, if there's going to be a cup competition that's going to be added in, and then plus, like you said, any of the players that also have international duties, the numbers rack up. And I was just looking at a stat earlier today that there's like Bellingham on the men's side. He's played 5 times more games by the age of 21 than David Beckham played by the age of 21. And so, or 5 times more minutes, sorry. And so it's like seeing that the increase has, it's like gone up so much in terms of player load in the past, you know, 10, 20 years. And so we really have to make sure that we have the players at the forefront of this and that we're not risking player safety and injuries, especially on the women's side, that we're really supporting them in the way that we need to.
I hear you mention the investment in interest and sponsorship dollars and the revenue that comes with it. And it strikes me that during your career, yourself and you know, Diana Matheson and others started having the conversations at the national team level about a PA and having fair pay for play and pay equity. And now you're having an influence in the game in a different way, but we still are having some of those same conversations and worries about our international players. There's new leadership at Canada Soccer, but given that you were in those conversations, and you know, really when they started in earnest years and years ago, are you optimistic, pessimistic, exasperated? How would you categorize your view on where those conversations should be at for our current women's national team?
Yeah, I think there's still some barriers in place that affect how far these conversations can go. But I think what matters is that both parties are at the table and the conversations are being had. I think the women's national team has far, you know, outperformed and has had better international results. But at the same time, you know, we need both to continue to succeed. Both the men's and the women's national teams are on incredible platforms right now and are doing incredibly well. And I think the more that they continue to both succeed, the more that they will push each other and push sponsors to continue to invest equally in both. And yeah, I think for a long time, our women haven't been invested in the same. And so being able to kind of double down on that and make sure that they're getting that investment, getting the exposure, getting the visibility that they need, will continue to drive the conversations forward.
They'll have massive visibility this summer as the defending Olympic champions in Paris. Certainly a new team in terms of many of the names on the team sheet, and there's a massive one, obviously, that for the first time in a long time at Olympics we won't see. But new structure, new system, new formation in many ways. When you know you take off your national team, you know, badge and are just evaluating as a football executive, and you'll be in some ways scouting. What do you think of the prospects of this team going into an international tournament where even from a couple years ago, the depth is even greater across the world in the women's game?
Yeah, like you nailed it. The depth is greater. All teams are getting better and better. And the Olympics is a tight tournament. Like there's only 12 teams. And so it's stacked and every single game is a hard game. What we do know about the Canadians is we have a history of doing not so well in World Cups and then 11 months later doing very well and medaling in an Olympics. And so if we continue on that trajectory, I'm pretty confident in the summer. But honestly, every summer I go in and you just never know what you're going to get. And Olympics are like the wild, wild west. And there's always adversity. There's always challenges. There's always crazy things that happen within that tournament. What I do know is that the Canadian team has always been a very resilient team that has been able to adapt and overcome through a lot of challenges. And so I hope they continue on that trajectory. There's some fantastic young players that have been coming up, and for them to now hopefully get their first Olympic experience will be amazing. And yeah, I hope that they have similar success as the last one, but at the same time, maybe a little bit better in terms of having packed stadiums and more people being able to support.
Well, I suspect you're going to be feeling all the feels this summer as someone who's sweat and bled for the crest and helped get it into the great spot that it is now. You obviously have an attachment to their success. Someone who's not playing, but you know, is passionate about the country, like many Canadians, will be watching and nervous, like all of us, like a fan, but also still a competitor. You're an executive, so I'm sure you're going to have a notepad with you while you're watching and making some notes. So good luck. Enjoy balancing all of those things this summer.
I know. It's crazy. It's like, and you know that the more visibility and investment that there's going to be and all the success stories that are going to come, like I think one of my favorite things about these major tournaments is seeing what players step out and shine, seeing which player is like, this is their breakout tournament. We saw a few of them last summer in the World Cup. And so I'm really excited, you know, for the Canadians, but also for other players, just to see who it is that kind of steps up during these tournaments and elevates their game to a new level. That's one of my favorite things about it, is just those individual performances that nobody expects.
Well, at some point in time, that performance was yours, which is why your story was documented in a documentary that Canadians can stream and screen. Take me through the process of, first of all, greenlighting it and saying yes. You have a lot on the go as it is. Why did it make sense to tell your story at this time via this platform?
Yeah, I think over the years, I've kind of told my story in different ways, specifically like around mental health. And I think the way that this was presented and the way that, you know, when I spoke to the directors and the producers and talked about how this could be of impact, and just gave me a different, I think, platform and way to tell my story in a more holistic kind of point of view. It just made sense. It felt right. I've always been a proponent of being somebody who's authentic and genuine and has been pretty open with the struggles I've been through, and knowing how much, you know, me telling my story just via like written articles or via blogs has helped people. I knew that being able to tell it on this platform would be able to reach far more people in a totally different way.
It's one thing to sit down and be interviewed and give, you know, archival footage of yourself up and have them interview your friends and family. It's another thing to sit down and watch the final product. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it's a bit odd. Being when we did the first release in the theater, being in a theater of, you know, a packed theater of a bunch of people and watching a movie about yourself. It's a bit odd and strange, but I think I keep going back to one of the coolest things about it was being able to see the interviews and the points of views from all the other people like in my life, and seeing their experience and their understanding of like the struggles I went through and how they experienced it, how they saw it. That I think was one of the biggest like eye-opening moments for me, was just, you know, it's questions you don't often ask your parents or your partner or your best friend or, you know, coaches you've had. So to hear their experiences, I think, just helped me learn a lot more about myself. And
sounds a bit therapeutic.
It was, honestly, like the whole process was, it was like we really dove deep into my childhood and things that I like went through there and how I kind of got to where I was. And I think all of the interviews and all of the conversations around it, like, really helped me, I think, see different things from different perspectives. And
We can't wait to see it and hear your perspective, and can't wait to see what you do with the Whitecaps and what you do continually to grow the sport in our country. So thank you, both retroactively and proactively. Try to manage the heart rate this summer when you're watching the women's national team.
I'll do my best. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to hear from Steph, one of the greatest players we've had in the history of the program, men or women's, and one of the greatest players we have in the program right now, quickly rising the ranks in terms of all-time goal scorers, is our next guest, Adriana Leon, who's coming off a real great time playing for the national team. Scored a game-winning goal against Mexico in front of a huge crowd at BMO Field. And also, it's a great time for her. She's riding a wave right now because she was announced as one of the founding athlete partners for Quench Hydration. Now, Quench, as you may have seen, also has partnerships. People like Andrew Wiggins, brought to you by some of the same people who started BioSteel, and they are back in the sports hydration business. Shout out to Johnny Salenza, one of the founding partners. But I wanted to talk to another King City, Ontario native, Adriana Leon, about that very path from King City to the UK, playing
in the Premiership and eventually playing in Paris this summer at the Olympics. It's been a amazing ride, but now with her place on the team, she's not just counted on up front to provide goal-scoring opportunities. She's really working hard to provide opportunities for young girls in the sport and be the leader of the young girls that are now on the team who looked up to her a couple years ago when she was playing in a World Cup in this country. Adriana Leon on Going Deep right now. Thanks for doing this, and congrats. Quench, how's it feel?
Thanks for having me on. It feels incredible to be linked with a brand like Quench. I think, you know, it's a true testament to where women's sports is at the moment, and it's really exciting to be a part of the brand.
The operative word is partnership. It seems much more of a partnership than you just being someone who's a spokesperson for it. What's that feel like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think as one of the faces of the brand alongside elite athletes like Nathan and Andrew, I think it's a special time and it's an exciting time, and I'm excited to see where the brand takes it, but so far so good.
When you were growing up playing youth sport in Canada, did you ever think you'd be the face of a international brand?
Well, I think, yeah, exactly. Growing up, this wasn't a thing. And, you know, in the years past, it's always been looking at the American girls and seeing what they're doing and seeing them represent other brands. And it was never really a thing for Canadian female athletes. So to partner with a Canadian brand is, yeah, it's exciting.
What are some of the differences between your experience coming up in soccer, trying to make a career for yourself, and what the experience will be like for girls coming up right now?
Yeah, I think there's so many more opportunities for female athletes, especially in soccer, with the new introduction to the Northern Super League recently. You know, that's coming to town next year, and that's just really exciting, especially for young girls who want to aspire to play professionally. You know, now they can do that here in Canada, and I never had that opportunity, so pretty exciting for women's soccer, especially in Canada.
How do you personally balance the plethora of opportunities that there are now? You've played at the highest level in, you know, stadiums like Old Trafford and Villa Park, but soon you'll be able to play in front of your friends and family if you want. When you look at those two opportunities, what sticks out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the opportunities will come if you just, I think for me, I try and focus on my performance and showing the best that I can. And I think when I represent Canada, it's always such an honor and it's always so special. And yeah, hopefully I'll get to be able to do that this summer in Paris and go and defend the gold medal.
Talk about your performance. It was consistently strong and you were in form for Canada, specifically, you know, at the last World Cup. How did you balance, you know, you personally playing well with the team collectively not meeting the goals that you all had set?
Yeah, I think we've been on a bit of a learning curve with the national team. I think when we won gold in Tokyo and then we went to the World Cup and, you know, we weren't as successful. We didn't make it out of the group, and I think we were expected to do quite well in that tournament. And I know we disappointed a lot of fans, disappointed the country, but I think we have such a unique and special group. I know everyone's excited to bounce back and to show what we can do this summer.
Some differences. Obviously, Sink is not part of the setup right now. There are some new faces, some healthy bodies that you didn't necessarily have. In terms of formation and shape, we could see some different things. What are you expecting in terms of the new vibe and energy of the program?
Yeah, I think in the last few months, that's kind of what we've had to figure out really as a group. And I think that's something the manager, Bev, has had to kind of sort out on, you know, with the staff. And I think we saw a bit of a stale side, I guess you could say, at the World Cup. And I think we have been working on a new formation. We have younger players coming up. We have older players that retired. And I think it's just been about finding the right balance. And I think that's something that we've just been working on in the past few months. And with our past results, we've done actually quite well. Like, we've been unbeaten for over 10 games now. So, you know, we have an exciting group, a confident group, and I think there's no reason why we shouldn't do well this summer.
Going into this major tournament, a bit of a different role for you. Certainly counted on to find the back of the net, but because of your age relative to the group, not in the sport, probably counted on for some leadership. What's that process been like for you?
Yeah, I think that's a role that I've just kind of fell into now. I'm one of the vets, I guess you could say, and I've got over 100 caps for Canada. And yeah, I think a lot of the younger players look up to me, and I think it's up to me to show well, to be a true professional, to show them the ropes, and to lead by example. So, you know, that's what I try and do every day in the environment.
Even when you say vets, it's with air quotes. Does that feel weird for you to consider yourself a vet in the program?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know where the time's gone, but I feel like I'm still young, and maybe that's a bit of a mindset thing. I always have the mindset of you can always get better, and there's always things to work on, and I still feel like I haven't hit my peak yet. So I think for me, I'm kind of, you know, in the mindset of I'm excited to see, you know, where I can take this in the next few months.
The trend continues. The team disappoints in World Cups and fares very well in Olympics. For those who don't really understand, break down the difference in those two tournaments and what it's like to be in them.
Yeah, I mean, they're two very different tournaments. And I think just as an athlete, you know, every athlete knows, like, every tournament's different and you never know what's going to happen. And I think, you know, with the World Cup, you have a lot more countries competing. I think it's over 30 teams in the tournament. There's, you know, longer in between games, longer rest period, bigger roster sizes. And then you have the Olympics, where it's a 12-team tournament. You have 18 players on the roster, 16 field players, which is really tiny for soccer. And you have only 2 days in between games. So the tournament's a lot shorter. It's a lot tougher. And they're just two completely different beasts in their own way.
You're very stylish, so you could have been going to Paris for Fashion Week and not football. But the fact that the Olympics are in France, in a football mad nation, and there's going to be fans in stands, given that's a difference from the last Olympics. What are you expecting for the atmosphere and the culture of these games?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm in the boat where I don't actually know what to expect, because in Tokyo we had no one in the stands. You know, we weren't even allowed to leave the hotel. Couldn't even go outside for a walk. So I think, you know, going into Paris is going to be completely different. I've got really nothing to compare it to. I know it'll be a lot more lively, more energetic. You know, we've got France in our group. I think playing France at home is going to be a really tough match. And but yeah, challenging, but also super exciting.
The kickoff matches you've had in Canada have been like a party, a celebration, it seems, of where women's sport as a whole has been. PWHL season successful, WNBA Toronto coming, and then we're having the announcement of league names and franchise gear for our own domestic soccer league. For someone who's been fighting for equity inclusion in sport for a long time, what's it like for you to see what's happening in women's sport in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, like it's so exciting. It's, you know, we've never seen female sports like this in Canada before, and I think it's so nice for young girls to now have to grow up and be able to aspire to play professionally, whether it's in soccer or basketball or hockey or whatever sport it is. I think, you know, the opportunities out there is so great to see, and hopefully it continues to grow in the right way. But I think, yeah, just very exciting, and hopefully I'll get a chance to play at home one of these days. That would be nice.
What was the toughest part for you coming up as a youth in soccer in Canada?
I think, you know, sport can be ruthless. I think, you know, if you're not performing, it's like you're out the door. So I think in terms of that and the competition available, I think that's quite challenging to always stay on your game. And I think that transitions also into the professional environment. It's it's being able to perform at 110% day after day. And I think that's probably the most challenging thing about sport, is just being able to compete at your best every day.
If you could say something to your younger self who didn't know you were going to get to be the face of a brand or be leading the line for Canada at the Olympics, what would you say?
Yeah, I think I get asked this question a lot, and I feel like saying never give up is a bit cliche, but I just think it's so true, because there's so many haters and doubters out there that, you know, they want to see you fail. And I think if you can just stay true to yourself, you work hard, and you keep dreaming, I think anything is possible. And it's so important for young girls to be able to see that from a young age.
You are very present and visible on social. I'm sure a lot of young girls are sliding in the DMs looking for advice or just showing love. What are the types of things that they're looking for mentorship from you for?
Yeah, I think a lot of girls just don't know the right pathway to get to professional or to get to college. And they often ask the question of, how did you get to where you are? And yeah, I just think I always say just to keep fighting and to never give up and to work your hardest and perform on the daily. And I think, you know, that'll lead you to the right pathway.
And lastly, it's led you to being the face of a brand. You're showing them what you can do on the field, but also with business acumen off the pitch. What are you hoping to model in all of the partnerships in business acumen that you have outside of soccer?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've got a tough job of having to keep performing, and so the opportunities keep coming. But it's just, yeah, it's so nice to be associated with Quench, and I hope that, you know, young girls and boys can look at that and think that they can also do that when they grow up and be supported by a Canadian brand.
Do you have a favorite flavor yet?
Cherry limeade.
Nice.
How about you?
Same.
Yeah, great. The flavors are top.
Great minds think alike. Well, enjoy the cherry lime and Paris and all the love that Canadians are giving you, because there's a lot of pride in kind of what you're doing now, but also the fact that you had to really get out the mud to be the star that you are. So congrats.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much to Adriana Leon. You can give her a follow at underscore Adriana Leon underscore is the IG. And while you're there, give Quench Hydration a follow. That's the handle. Quench, C-W-E-N-C-H, not C-Wench. It's Quench Hydration is the handle. Let's take a break. Talking to another goal scorer after the break. That would be Natalie Spooner.
My name is Lucille Bryan.
I'm Clifton Bryan.
My grandson has a show.
And I'm so happy that you're listening to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
I'm so glad that he had a show. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Grandma and Granddad. This is the Going Deep podcast. And our guest just decides to do all the things at once, return to play at the highest level after having a child, help to start a domestic hockey league here in North America so the best women in the world have a place to play and make livable wages. Does that as a working mom, league starts, plays in said league, and decides to not only be the leading goal scorer. You know what? I'm just going to win MVP in an award named after Billie Jean King in its inaugural season. The only sad part about that story is she ended the season getting injured in the playoffs on her number one seeded Toronto franchise. So now another season of rehab, but in a different way. I want to talk to Natalie Spooner about all of the highs and lows of year one in the PWHL and other ways that we can improve upon what was, by all accounts, an amazing start to this new league. Let's go deep with Natalie Spooner to find out. Well, Natalie, first and foremost, congratulations on many levels, but I feel like this season you've had all the feels, certainly. Talk to me about the roller coaster of emotions. I imagine
this inaugural year has been for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy journey to get here. Like, I think when I reflect, I have to even like think back farther to, you know, when our league folded in 2019, and then kind of the journey we went from there. And then obviously, after the Olympics, I decided to start a family. Coming from back from that was definitely longer process than I thought. Like, I came back quick, but then had to take, you know, 6 months off before the beginning of this last season. And to be honest, didn't really know how the season was going to go this season, but was just so excited that we finally had a professional league to play in, you know, that our dreams were really coming true. And I couldn't have asked, you know, it went amazing. Obviously, the ending was not the ending we wanted for, you know, myself or my team. But I think, you know, looking back, there's a lot of great moments that our team got to be a part of. You know, our record setting streak, I think, is one of them. Billie Jean dropping our opening puck, our game at Scotiabank Arena, our game at the Bell Center. Like, there's so many moments that I feel like gave me goosebumps that I can look back on and really cherish those moments.
Talk to me about that journey, in that certainly having a child is an adjustment for anyone, specifically a mother, but also there's an adjustment as a working mom going back into the workforce. And I imagine other working moms who had to do it either looked at you with inspiration or infuriation about how did you just go back to work and lead a league in points. How did you find that cadence and that rhythm in home, in life, on ice?
With a lot of support. I think obviously my mom like was either living with us or I was bringing Rory into Toronto with me. My husband was super supportive, and I think we really just took it a day at a time. That was the only way we could make it work. But yeah, it was a journey to get there. Obviously I came back for a little bit of the PWHPA, played at Worlds, and then had to take a break, but really wanted to be ready to go for the beginning of the season and knew just how historic it was, you know, this PWHL season. And yeah, I don't know, like, I just kind of got a few games in and then started feeling pretty good in my body again, really, and just kind of took it from there. But I mean, our team, I got to play with amazing players, probably like the team I've played on that had like the most skilled, high caliber players, other than Team Canada, that I've ever got to play on. So that was pretty cool and so much fun. And they made it fun to come to the rink every day, and for hockey to be your job, that's not a bad gig. So I loved it every day. You know, we went to the rink and had so much fun. So I can't complain.
This season went from, wow, Spooner's on a heater, to, wow, Spooner's the most dominant offensive player in the best league in the world. For you, having the affirmation, giving all of the sacrifice it took personally and as a group to get there, and then to be the league's first MVP, how does that sit with you?
I don't know if I've been able to even process it all yet. My life has just been like a whirlwind from the season to obviously my injury, surgery, recovering from that, and then the awards. So it's just kind of been go, go, go. But I mean, it's pretty amazing. It just kind of felt, I think this season, like, it went by so fast too, because it was just like we were flowing, and it was the first time in a long time we've had a regular season where you had, you know, multiple games a week to play. And I think just getting that many games under your belt, it just kind of, you can just get into a bit more of a flow. But yeah, I mean, I think I'll be able to look back and really appreciate it more. But I mean, even at the awards yesterday, having Billie Jean stand up there and present me, you know, an award named after her, and to know everything that she's done for women in sports, but also for our league, and being that pillar for us through even some of the hard moments to keep us all united. It was pretty surreal for her to be, you know, giving me that award and to receive an award named after her.
You talked about the awards. Listen, if I needed crutches and had a brace on, I might just say that someone can accept on my behalf. Not only you're at the awards, you're at the draft. The family shows up in fits. I'm not sure if there's a family stylist situation going on or if Rory's outfit comes in my size. But what was that experience for you like? And why the intentional choice to not only show up, but to show up big?
Yeah, I think obviously when I got injured, it was a bit of a downer in a sense. Obviously, like, it was heartbreaking, but at the same time, I had all these plans for summer, and, you know, maybe the golfing had to be canceled and, you know, some of the things I couldn't do anymore, but I wanted to be pretty intentional in being like, okay, I still want to live my life and not have, you know, this kind of just have my summer be, you know, totally off. And I wasn't sure if I would make it to the awards because it was less than 2 weeks after surgery, but I kind of talked to the doctors and they said, you know, all should be good. Just get extra leg room for the flight. And luckily it was a pretty quick flight. And then, yeah, I mean, it was, I guess, a really cool moment to be a part of. I think I would have maybe regretted if I hadn't have gone, being the first year and just how monumental this year was. So yeah, I mean, it was amazing to get to go and to get to experience that, but also then to be at the draft again and see all of our draft picks for next year, to kind of relive those moments and feel the nerves for the girls sitting in the crowd, I think was pretty cool too.
Talk about all the help you've needed to get to this place. Now you are back needing help again, given this injury.
I thought I was going to give my mom a bit of a break after the season. But she stayed on a little bit longer to help me out until I can get moving a bit more, because I'm definitely not keeping up with Rory anymore with my crutches. So definitely need a bit more extra help at the moment.
Well, it looked like Rory wanted to give you some assistance with the crutches. Sometimes toddlers think they're helping and they're not. When he was helping you try to move the crutches, was that helping or hurting your mobility?
No, it was actually okay. I had to kind of teach him that, because if he's just running off, I can't like hold hands with him. So I have to get him to hold my crutch for us to walk together. So he's gotten pretty good like walking with me with the crutch. I know it's a little like jaggedy and awkward, but it's better than him like running off on his own and getting into trouble. So I taught him, instead of holding my hand, to hold my crutch now.
Mom hack. Moms always find a way.
Yeah.
This summer you have, where you went from rehabbing the middle body injury, you know, post-pregnancy to a lower body injury, now with this offseason, given how late in the year the injury happened, what does rehab look like in comparison to starting up next year?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I kind of joke about it and people think it's pretty funny, but at the same time, like, people have sustained knee injuries before, like a lot of people. Like, anyone that sees you walking around with your crutches are like, oh, I had that happen, or, you know, you hear so many stories. So there's, you know, there's definitely protocols and, you know, kind of rehab procedures in place for these types of injuries. And I have a great team around me that will, you know, help me with that and, you know, speed the process up for sure. So I guess I feel pretty optimistic and pretty good about it, knowing that, you know, there's lots of people who have gone through this and come back from it, whether it's, you know, female athletes in other sports, whether they're in hockey, even male athletes in other sports. So there's been lots of people coming back to sport, whereas with pregnancy, I wouldn't say it was as known. And even every single pregnancy is so different and everyone experiences different things. So like, it's hard, even when you talk to other people who have gone through it, they experience totally different things than you experience. So there was a lot of unknowns, I would say, with coming back from pregnancy. And what I experienced versus hopefully what I'm going to experience with my knee rehab.
Unknown is the main word in terms of essentially building a league in less than a year and playing and figuring out rules and CBAs and draft expansion. Now we're going into our second season, had our second draft. It struck me watching it, the amount of talent coming into the league, but yet without expansion, there's only so many roster spots. What do you think of in terms of the level of play you saw in year one and what that means moving forward, given that every year now, whether it's international or via the draft, more girls are going to be interested in playing in the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think the level of play is just going to keep going up and up and up. And I think, you know, maybe 3-4 years from now, when we have these drafts, like, I think it's going to be even harder for the girls coming in to actually, you know, get a roster spot at tryouts. So I think that it's exciting that there's going to be that much talent. I feel like eventually there'll be an expansion and that will happen. But I think, yeah, the next few years is just going to be more exciting because the game's going to be faster and have way more skilled players in it. This class coming out, I already look at the girls and I'm like, wow, there's so much talent and so many girls that could come in and make an impact on this game. So yeah, it's pretty exciting.
One of the girls that comes in that joins your squad is Gosling, obviously someone who you've mentored and someone who people have compared to being, you know, the next version of you. What are the emotions seeing her join the league and joining the team?
Yeah, I mean, I've always said she reminds me a lot of myself, but way better than I was at her age even. So I know she still has so much better to get. And I trained with her in the summer. She lives right around the corner from me. And, you know, she has so much upside. And I'm just excited to see kind of how this next progression for her and playing at the pro level, she's just going to continue improving. And I think she can be a player who can really come in and use her size and her skill, and her shot is so good that I could see her having a real big impact for our team and helping us win a lot of games.
You're not going to benefit from a proper offseason like many of players in the league, but going into year two, we will see some changes because everything was rushed just to make sure year one happened. What do you think some of the tangible differences will be now that the league and teams have a year under their belt?
Oh, I mean, everything really just had to come together so fast in the first year. And I think they did an amazing job. As players, we felt it was truly professional and everything was in place for us. I think hopefully we get to play maybe in some bigger buildings more often to get more fans in the seats. I know there's the demand for that. Merchandise, I know, was one that a lot of people wanted and maybe couldn't get their hands on, and they were flying off the shelves. So it'd be great if they had that set up kind of in advance. I guess the other one that everyone's waiting on is team names. Maybe that will be a big one for next season. We'll see. We'll wait and see. But, I mean, I think we're starting at a really good point with how the first season went and how, you know, we set records for attendance. It's going to be hard to beat those records, I think, because it was just we did it so big in the first year. But it'd be amazing if we match a lot of those. If not, you know, maybe we can find a bigger venue than the Bell Center. I don't know if one exists, but you never know.
And lastly, the marketplace is starting to get crowded with the inspiration of what you women were able to do. NSL is coming, a domestic soccer league. Obviously, WNBA Toronto is coming, giving us a league and a team in Canada in the best women's professional basketball league in the world. You've been through it. You sacrificed so that it could happen properly. And now, in some ways, you're the beneficiary. If you had a word of advice to those girls, those administrators, those athletes, based off of your lived experience, what would it be?
Oh, just take it all in. I think it's such a moment for women's sports right now. And, you know, to have grown up in Toronto and, you know, grew up in Scarborough, and to now see that we're going to have, you know, three professional women's teams there. For hockey, soccer, and basketball. I don't think it was something that I ever thought would happen, at least while I was playing. So I think that it's really exciting, and I think we can all elevate each other when those teams finally start up in the next few years. So it will be really exciting, and I can't wait to get out to their games to support them. But I would just say take it all in and enjoy it because, you know, you never know when it's going to end or what's going to happen. But you are making an impact and inspiring a lot of little girls to hopefully want to follow your footsteps and play the game. And I think for me, that's one of the most exciting parts about going to the rink now and playing in our games is there's so many, you know, little girls, little boys there. But I think there's going to be a lot of those little girls and little boys in 10 years time that say, you know, we saw you play and, you know, that sparked our dream to want to play hockey or for little girls to want to play in the PWHL. And I can't wait to hear those stories. And just to see how good those players are, because women's hockey is growing so fast that the players are getting so good so early now that the game is just going to keep growing now. And they're going to be able to play past university and continue to develop their game.
Well, of those three professional teams on the women's side that you mentioned, the first MVP from all of them is you. So shout out to the Borough of Scars for producing yet another champ. And
Shout out to the additional scar that you added along the way. Good luck with the rehab from it. But it's just like another chapter in your biography or documentary. You always need a story arc and something to overcome. So looking forward to you doing it again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Natalie Spooner, who it sounds like needs a reality show. She's already been on Amazing Race Canada and Battle of the Blades. I just want a Keeping It Real Spoons. I don't know. We'll workshop the title. But her life sounds so interesting and busy. I just want to follow it all the time. Thank you for following us. Like, favorite, share, subscribe to this podcast. 5 stars would be appreciated. And let us know who you want to hear from. That would also be appreciated. We gave you 3 outstanding athletes today. We hope to do the same. Some good episodes coming down the pike pretty soon. Take care.